Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Claire Daniels.
So, let's, having probably said everything you wanted to say, Claire, you've got half an hour, even though it's quarter past.
Thank you. Yeah, I was thinking, should I just filter some stuff out, because probably about 50% of what I was going to say this morning, Pastor Paul's brought, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to bring what the Holy Spirit gives me. And if we hear it twice, then that means God is saying something to us. So we need to listen. So I'm going to get through this in half an hour. The good thing is that you've all got notes. So if I don't get all the way through Isaiah 62, then you can take a copy to take away with you. The other notes that I've got, do you remember over days of April, we wrote lots of things up on the flip chart? I've typed everything up that was on those, and I'll talk, well, hopefully I'll remember, as we go through about how we can actually use this. So it'd be really good if at least every household took one of each of these away with you, because this is what we're going to be praying, this is what we're going to be doing. And the next miracle that's going to happen is I'm going to press this, and it's going to go. But please, Jesus, let the batteries work. Don't jump up and down. It's very temperamental. Well, if it does, I'm going to talk anyway until it works, because I don't need the first slide. So it's going to work. Otherwise, Dan's going to have to do lots of clicking at the back for me. Okay, so as Pastor Paul said, we've stepped into a new season, and there's a real sense of faith rising, isn't there? And we started a journey, and we're going on this journey together. We're not there yet, because you're never there when you start out journey. You're going to a place, and so it's okay that we're not all where we think maybe we want to be, because we're at the start of a journey. And we've just started it. We've just stepped out of the door, and we've just started to gather the troops together to say, right, come on, let's all do this together. We don't want anybody to be left behind. We don't want anybody to not be part of this journey. And one thing that God does at the beginning of journeys, which Pastor Paul is sort of alluding to here, is he gives you a word or words. He gives words to you that are going to get you to the end of that journey. He gives you words that are going to kick you out the door and get you started, that are going to sustain you for that journey, that are going to give you a vision of where you're going, and are going to get you to the end. And that's why it's so important that as we take these scriptures, as we take the words that God is giving us, that we say we are going to persist with these, we're going to pursue them, we're going to be determined to walk forward with them, because they will get us to an end. If in 2 months' time you're fed up with Luke 11:8, if you're fed up with Isaiah 62, if you're fed up with seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, which would possibly be coming up there, but it's not, try not to. Just go back to God and say, Holy Spirit, give me a fresh excitement and revelation of these scriptures, because we've got to let them carry us to the end of the journey. And for me, I found the power of this over this year. And I've really learnt this lesson, that what God gives you at the beginning of a journey is there to carry you through, and you've got to keep coming back to it. And for me, I started a new journey at the beginning of this year, and for me at the time I knew it had to be a season of healing, it had to be a season of restoration, because if it wasn't, I didn't really know where I was going to get to. And after 27 years of struggling with depression and other mental health issues, I was like, I'm at the end, and I couldn't cope with it anymore. And a whole lot of circumstances piled in that meant it really was God's time. It was like, everything's gone. I've got nothing. I can't do anything. I can hardly function. God help. And the first day that I was officially off sick, I was on the cliffs up by the Sea Life Centre. And God's asked me two questions. He said, is there any depression and brokenness in heaven? I went, no. Yes, one answer right. And the next question was, why not? And he said, because your presence is there, your presence is there and it's fullness, and your presence there is fullness of joy. There's no brokenness, there's no depression in heaven. So he said, why do you think that's going to be different on earth? You're not going to be able to fix this. You're not going to be able to make yourself well. You've got to learn how to experience healing in my presence. And I'd love to say I took hold of it, like we're going to take hold of these words, and I ran with it and I was obedient to it and I did that. But I kicked against it quite a lot, but God had to keep bringing me back, saying, this is what I gave you at the beginning, and there's a promise in there that you are going to get through to the end. and kept coming back. I want to go back to work, I want to go back to work. In my presence. And so I learned that I had to take what God had given me at the beginning because it would carry me right through to the end. And I'm looking now, and I've been well for 3 months. I've never been well for 3 months. In 27 years, I've never been well. And I know, I was reluctant to say it in some respects, but I know that God has healed me. And it is like the Egyptian, you know, when Moses said to the Israelites, the Egyptians you see before you today, you will never see again. And it's like that. It's like, it's gone. I don't see it's part of my life. And I'm so thankful to Jesus. I'm so thankful that he's healed me. I'm so thankful that he's put me in a family with the most amazing leaders and friends that carried me through. But he gave me a word at the beginning, and that's got me through. And he's given me another word for the season that I'm in now. And I'm being a little bit more proactive and obedient with that now, because I've kind of learned that when he gives us something, we carry it through. So are we going to take hold of the words God's given us at the beginning of this journey? And are we going to carry them through to the end?
Yes.
Yes, amen. Yes. Can you just bring all of those up, Kate? Thank you so much for doing that. So just a reminder, I just want to remind us again of this diagram that Pastor Paul's given us. Make sure you've got it in your Bible. These are the key scriptures that we need to pray. These are the key scriptures that we need to be bringing up. If you can just bring them all up, that would be fabulous. Thank you. Okay, so Isaiah 62, Matthew 6, 33, seek first his kingdom. Matthew 7, which is also in Luke 11, so go with all of Luke 11. Ask, seek, and knock. And we've been talking a little bit about those. Nah, still not working. Right, so let's go to Isaiah 62. What I'm going to try and do is, I'm not going to do it completely verse by verse, because there are some verses that link into each other, and we'll still be here at midnight, and I could talk about all of them for a long time. So let's start with Isaiah 62, verse 1. Now, God, we're going to try and get beyond verse 1 because God really arrested me with this last week, and I haven't been able to get past it. So let's hope we do. Okay, because this is new living. Because I love Zion, I will not keep still. Because my heart yearns for Jerusalem, I cannot remain silent. I will not stop praying for her until her righteousness shines like the dawn and her salvation blazes like a burning torch. Now, what you'll find in the notes that I've done is I've looked at how this is relevant to Jerusalem, how it's relevant. This is a prophetic scripture that Isaiah is bringing, which would not happen for a long time, and much of what we're looking at hasn't happened or is starting to happen in Jerusalem now. So he is bringing a prophetic scripture about the land that he is in, and that is the context it's written in, and they are the people that he's speaking to. So it's really important we understand that, and it's really important we understand how these scriptures apply first and foremost to the Jewish people, to Israel, and to the city of Jerusalem. But what we're going to do is we're going to take the principles from it that God is speaking to us. So we are not going to keep silent. We're not going to be still, yes? But there's something that comes before that. What comes before that? Love. Okay, because I love Zion, because my heart yearns for Jerusalem. Can you hear the heart cry of Isaiah? He's in a city where the rebellion against God is immense, where there's been horrendous things happening. The people of God have been doing the things that of the surrounding nations. And his heart cry is, because I love Zion, because I love Jerusalem. Even though he's surrounded by evil, his heart is still, my heart yearns for Jerusalem. And is that was the thing that God really captured my heart with. Yeah, I cannot be silent. I can be determined to pray, but it's not going to last unless I love, unless there's a commitment in my heart to say, I'm going to love this town. And we do, because we're here, because we do all the things that we do from this place. But there's always a new level, isn't there? As Pastor Paul said, he's taking us from glory to glory. This journey isn't because it wasn't good before. This journey is because it's going to be amazing. We're going from glory to glory. We've loved. We've started learning to love. But we're going to learn what it is to have a new encounter with the love that God has for Scarborough. And the encounter with Jesus, the love that he has for where you live. I don't know that I have the faith, if I'm really honest, for the whole of Scarborough just yet. If I'm being really honest, I can pray it, but that's not quite where my faith is. But I do have the faith for my street. I do have the faith for the Rainbow Centre where I work. I do have faith for the people that are around me. And that's where I need to start with my faith. And God said to me, how many times have you walked up and down your road? It's a dead end, so I have to go past the same houses every time. And in 4 years, and it's been, you know, at least once every day. And how many times have you prayed? How passionate are you for the people that live behind those closed doors? And I was, Jesus, I haven't been really. And he's got to change my heart. I was listening to a message the other day, and the preacher had been to Detroit, and he had been visiting a minister there called Robert Earl Joyce, and he was known in Detroit as Rejoice. What a great name to be. That would be great to be called that, wouldn't it? And they're talking, and suddenly he looks out the window, gets really angry, runs down, and there's this man on the opposite side of the church building, and he goes up to him, and the man pulls out a gun, and he says, you've got two options. Either you can shoot that gun and it's not going to work, or you can get saved. He took a third option and ran off. So the guy comes back in, still really indignant, really angry. And he said, this is my patch. This area is mine. I've taken it. And it was a drug dealer going to do a deal. That does not happen on my patch. I will not tolerate any evil. And in that immediate area, it was the lowest crime rate in not just Detroit, but the whole state. And every house looked nice. The gardens were lovely. Everyone had a job. Because he had said, this is my ground, I'm taking it. I love this place, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to do what it takes to see this, but it's mine. And Pastor Paul was talking about that earlier. You know, every step that we take, but let's be really intentional about it. When we're walking, every step that I take, this is, I'm establishing the love of God. I'm establishing the peace of God. I'm establishing the joy of God. And her righteousness shines like the dawn. Salvation blazes like a burning torch. If we will seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that's what we want to see, isn't it? The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace and joy. We want to see that righteousness established in our midst. So love always has an action. And in this, love for us right now in this season, our love, the action of our love is that we're going to pray, and we're going to pray until we see it. There's other actions, but right now it's I will not remain silent. If we can remain silent, do we love? It's a question. Okay. And so skipping over into verse 6, verse 5 and 6. Yeah, take that up. That's right. 6 and 7, sorry. Jerusalem, I've posted watchmen on your walls. We've heard that this morning as well. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. Give the Lord no rest. That sounds quite shamelessly audacious to me to say, God, I'm going to give you no rest until the work is completed, until we see salvation in this place, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. One of the things that James Maloney spoke to us was about being watchmen and gatekeepers. And that's such a commission for us, isn't it? Are we going to be watchmen on the wall? A watchman has two primary roles. The first one is to see the enemy coming and to warn people, to pray, to gather the troops, to resist what's coming in. Because we're going to say we're not going to have coming into this place the things that are not of God, aren't we? So that's one role. And the other is to see the blessing coming, to see what God's doing, see what God's bringing, see the people he's bringing, see the provision he's bringing, to see all the blessings he's going to see them and to call them in. It's two purposes. It's not just to keep the enemy out, but it's to bring the blessing in, to bring the people in and call them in, to rally people and say, look what I've seen. And there's got to be that prophetic thing. As we are watchmen, we've got to have that prophetic seeing of what God is doing, not just looking at what's happening here, but looking at what God is doing, because we need to call it in. And so we've started to see those things. We've got prophetic words. But let's be committed to that. And we'll come back towards the end just about being watchmen. Because give the Lord no rest until he completes his work. What's God's central purpose? Salvation. He longs that all men would be saved. His desire is for every person to be saved. Okay, let's go back to verse 2, I think it is. This is quite exciting because I'm not totally sure what's happening. verse 2, brilliant, and 4 and 5, because they all relate in together. And this was something that God spoke to us during days of favour, and I really want to encourage us in. The nations will see your righteousness, world leaders will be blinded by your glory, and you will be given a new name by the Lord's own mouth. And skipping over to verse 4, never again will you be called forsaken or desolate. Your new name will be Hephzibah, which means my delight, and your land Beulah, which means married. For the Lord delights in you and will claim you as his bride, and God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. Again, this is a very specific scripture that speaks into the city of Jerusalem and what God is going to do with the city of Jerusalem, and will give a new name. But Proverbs, can you bring the next bit up, which is Proverbs 11:11? This is great. This is a great scripture. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Wow, that's amazing. We have got the power to declare what our town will be. We've got the power to declare and exalt our town. We don't want to be those that are found amongst the mouth of the wicked saying negative things about Scarborough. We want to be those that we are the upright. Yes, we are the upright. So we are going by our blessing and by our positive words over Scarborough. Scarborough can change. Scarborough can become who we declare it to be. And we have to say, we are not going to join in the voices that say, Scarborough is this, Scarborough is this. We've got to declare who Scarborough is. And one of the things we did over Days of Favour was we wrote up names of Scarborough, things that God was, we believe God was saying over Scarborough, things that were on our heart. We have the Holy Spirit living in us. It's okay to say the things that are on our hearts. It's going to be the same things, isn't it? And there's a whole list of them here. And what I'd really encourage you to do is to take, don't take them all and go, right, I'm declaring over Scarborough, a watchtower, a place of excellence, a spa town. I don't do that. I would really encourage you to read through them and pick out one or two that connect with your spirit, that really resonate with you, that you, yes, that's what I want to see. And be consistent in speaking that out. So when you're walking around, if you try and take them all, you're not going to do it. Well, I know my own issues with consistency, and I wouldn't. I would just forget. I'd put them all on my phone. I'd make it all look really pretty. I'd do it different colours, and I still wouldn't do it. But when you've taken one, I can walk around and say, this is a place of aspirations. This is going to be a town where young people have got aspirations to do amazing things. It's not going to be a dead-end town for young people. And you can take that one thing, and as we walk around and as we connect with people, we speak them out. But if other people are saying negative things over Scarborough, we need to say no. No, that's not what it is, and we need to speak the opposite. Let's start seeing the positive spoken over Scarborough. And for Scarborough's got a new name. It might not be a new name that God gives Scarborough in the same way that he will Jerusalem, but the principle is that this is a town that is not forsaken. It's a town that is not desolate. This is a town that God is going to delight in, because we are here and he delights in us. He delights in his bride. And we're going to see people rising up, getting saved, and the bride is going to get bigger and bigger in this town. And there's a real sense that, you know, God will rejoice over you as a bridegroom rejoices over his bride. And we need to rejoice over Scarborough. Do we love Scarborough? Do we love Scarborough because it's got amazing cliffs and it's beautiful? Would you cut, if you came down to the Rainbow Centre for the day and you saw the most broken and vulnerable people who are just there day after day after day, not shaking their addictions, struggling, just loads of stuff going on, would you be able to sit in that place and say, I love Scarborough? We need to be able to say, I love Scarborough in every bit of Scarborough, don't we? That's really important. Wonderful. Okay, and just back to verse 3. I know this is going really fast, and I know some of you, your heads are feeling a bit mashed already. You've got notes, which will be good. Just pick up on what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Okay, the Lord will hold you in his hand for all to see, a splendid crown in the hand of God. Now, this is really is a scripture that God brought to Jerusalem and what he will do at the end of time. But what verse does it remind you of before Kate puts it up? What? Oh, she's all right, it's all right. Okay, this reminded me, I read it and I thought, yes, this is Ephesians 2:10, isn't it? This is, for we are God's masterpiece. Back to it again, because we still can't get rid of it, because it's so important. And you know when God gives you a word at the beginning of a journey, just because you get to the end of that journey, it doesn't mean that word's no longer something we take hold of. We do. So even though we've come into a slightly different season, we are God's masterpiece is still really relevant. For me, I know I have got to continue finding healing in God's presence, because if I don't keep pursuing my main thing being the presence of God, I'm at risk again of going downhill. So we keep hold of the words. And we're probably all in different places on the journey with this. Hopefully we're all further down the line than we were 2 years ago, or whenever it was Pastor Paul started speaking about it. But if you're newer to the church, this may still be something you're struggling with. And I know for me, it was a, oh, does he have to talk about this? It's true for everybody else, but it's not true for me. So, and please don't make us say it out loud again. Moving to, now it's pride. I know it's pride to say that it's just me, it doesn't apply to, and it applies to everyone else. So, okay, I've got to get over that pride. Okay, Jesus, please help me with this. And moving on to, actually, I know this is true, but I don't believe it really. I can't connect with it, but I know that it is true. And gradually moving into a place of saying, I do believe, help my unbelief, I do believe it, but it was still a struggle. And very much more recently, really, just in the last couple of months, got to the place of being able to say, this is true. I am God's masterpiece. I am created new for good works that he has planned for me. And it's amazing to get to that place. And it's okay if you're not, but start, keep moving through that. Because imagine if there were 120, 130 people who believed that they were God's masterpiece in this place, really believed it and lived it and spoke it. What impact could we have on Scarborough? And if we were in a town where the majority of people, or a massive percentage of people, believed that they were God's masterpiece and doing great works that God planned for them, what would that do? And imagine the impact on a nation that we could have. Just knowing who we are in Christ can transform everything around us. So I really encourage you to take that. Okay, verse 8. I'm going to try not to talk about this too much, although I'm doing pretty well, actually, because Pastor Paul looked at this a bit last week, but I do just want to encourage us again, because we need to keep going at things, keep going at things, keep going at things. And I know, you know, yes, I've heard this before, yes, I've heard this before. Try not to get that in your spirit, because every time God speaks something, we hear something new, or we can hear a new truth in it, or God, it sinks in a little bit more. At verse 8, the Lord has sworn to Jerusalem by his own strength, I will never again hand you over to your enemies. Never again will foreign warriors come and take away your grain and new wine. You raise the grain and you will eat it, praising the Lord. Within the courtyards of the temple, you yourselves will drink the wine you have pressed. And we're becoming a militant people, and we need to be a militant people that say, never again, never again. We've started to take back the things that the enemy has stolen, and we've taken them back in prayer, but it's not a one-time activity, because we've got to take them back in action as well. So where God's taken, not God, see, I'm doing it now, where the enemy has stolen people, we need to be going out to those people. We need to be rebuilding those relationships. We need to be doing what we need to do. Where the enemy's stolen finances from us personally, we need to go out and need to be giving. We need to be doing the opposite. Whatever the enemy has stolen, we need to be taking action and doing that. And we do need to keep praying. And so we must say, never again, but I am going to keep taking the actions that require, that I need to do in order to stop that happening again. Because as we've talked about, it's been so subtle. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there. And that's why the watchmen are so important. The watchmen have got to be so sensitive to what's happening. Because it isn't going to be a big troops of enemy in the distance, on the horizon. You know, we'd be ready for that, wouldn't we? But it's the subtle things. And the sensitivity in prayer, as we pray, is just, what are you saying, God? What do I need to protect? What bit of my heart do I need to guard? What aspect of my family do I need to guard? What in the church needs guarding and protecting right now? We need to be asking these questions so that we can be good watchmen and so that we can prevent the enemy stealing again. And let's go all out for seeing the restoration. We've still got to see the full restoration of things the enemy's stolen, haven't we? So we're going to see that. Wonderful. Verse 10. So we pray, but as we move through Isaiah 62, we've also got some action here. Go out through the gates, prepare the highway for my people to return. Smooth out the road, pull out the boulders, raise a flag or a banner for all the nations to see. And this scripture was very partially fulfilled when the first set of exiles came back to Jerusalem, and they had to make a way, they had to make a road for the other exiles to come back. It's a scripture that will be fulfilled, is being fulfilled in Israel, and will be. And for us, it shows us there's a practical thing. There's a praying, I will not be silent. But there's also, we need to make a way for people to come.
That's right.
We need to make a highway for people to come. We're good at that. We've taken a lot of the boulders out of the road. We've raised a banner. But what's God asking us to do next? Is there something we can do personally? Is there something more we can do corporately? What stumbling blocks are there for people coming and receiving the gospel? We need to take those out of the way. Let's make the road as smooth as we can so people can come to us. Raising a banner was so that it would be attractive. It wouldn't just be, hearing that it's a place to come. But there's a banner. And during Days of Favour, Kate prayed and stirred us really to pray that it wouldn't just be that the things that we do here are nice things for people, but that we get to that place where we can ask the questions, where we can be sharing the gospel, where we're seeing people actually brought in. Pastor Paul talks about belonging to believing, and we want people to belong, and the road, the highway, is kind of that path from bringing belonging to believing. What can we do to help smooth that road from belonging to believing? I know I'm asking more questions this morning than answers, but as Pastor Paul said last week about Luke 11, it's a good thing to look at in our house churches, isn't it? It's good questions to be asking. What can we do? Okay. John 4:35 says, I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. They are ripe for harvest. What can we do to be bringing that harvest in? It's always a question. It is the season that we're praying, but it's the season that we're also going to see people coming in. And finally, verse 11 and 12, there's just one thing I want to bring out from this, really. So it says, the Lord has sent this message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Saviour is coming. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. Have a look at Revelation 2 if you want to see a bit more about reward. There's a lot of it right through the New Testament. They will be called the holy people, the people redeemed by the Lord. And Jerusalem will be known as the desirable place and the city no longer forsaken. My heart is again that Scarborough, Kingdom Faith Yorkshire, all the churches in Scarborough, we become a town that is sought out again.
Yes.
And that we, as Pastor Paul talked about during Days of Favour, it's not going to be people coming to see it to a church. We want to see God move powerfully in this church, but it's not going to be people coming here. It's about people coming to a town, people coming to see a transformed town. And God is raising up a people that will say, we are going to see this, that we are going to be a town that is sought out once again, that we're going to pray until Scarborough is a town that is sought out again, until the churches in Scarborough are churches that people seek out, that people know about, and they're seeking them out because they know that they need to know God, that people around the nation come to this town, come to this church, because they see what God is doing, because the glory of God is so manifest, and we have to be a people that are marked by the glory of God, because when we're marked by the glory of God, there is nothing that is going to stop people from coming to this place. There's nothing that's going to stop people from seeking us out. So God has got, just through the Isaiah 62, I really encourage you to take it, just keep reading it, soak yourself in it. You will see loads more than I've brought out, and more that God is saying to us in it and through it. But I do, just before we finish, I do want us just to pray together. And I'm not going to pray, nice prayer, everyone. We're not in a season for that anymore, are we? But there were three things that I believe God wants to encourage us to respond to. The first one is for those of you, as I was talking, you know you're in a journey, you know that you're in a season, but you haven't got a word. You don't know what God's saying to you. And God wants to give you something. Now, the most powerful word is one that comes to you directly from God. It's not a prophetic word that comes from somebody else when God has spoken to you. And I believe God's going to release that for some of you today, because you need it. I'm sure God has wanted to do that in my life previously, and I've not heard anything. I've not been listening. And the second one is a new encounter with his love for Scarborough. I believe he wants to impart that to us today, and that as we call on him, he's going to give us a fresh sense of his love for whatever your faith is for. I'm not going to say it has to be for Scarborough, it has to be for your street. Where is your faith? Where are you praying for? What is your pray until? And the third one is a commitment for those of us that say, I want to be a watchman on the wall. We've got an amazing team that pray on a Wednesday morning with Pastor Shona, and she has a group of people that pray. They are watchmen. They're doing it. But we all need to say, yes, we're going to be watchmen too. We're going to stand on the wall. We're going to see what God's doing, and we're going to call it in. We're going to see what the enemy's doing, and we're going to keep it out and to be that people. So if any of those three relate to you, I'm going to ask you to stand, and then we're going to pray together, and we're going to call on God. I'm not going to pray for us, but we're all going to cry out to God and ask for that grace to be a watchman, ask for an encounter with his love. If you need a word from God, call on him for it. Let's see his power released in that as we do it. So just for a few minutes, and then Pastor Paul will take back over. And I'll say the code word for KFY. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, I pray for a fresh encounter with your love. Father, I want to know that your love in a greater measure for Scarborough. I want to experience your love. I want to experience what it is that you feel for this town. I want to feel what you feel for this town. I want to know what you know for this town. I want my heart to cry out like Isaiah did for Jerusalem. Father God, I want to be somebody that loves. Oh, hallelujah. Father, thank you, Jesus, that you've made me a watchman on the wall. And Lord Jesus, I commit myself again to being a watchman on the wall, that I would see what you are doing, that I will see what you are doing, I will see what you are bringing, I will see what the enemy is doing, and bring a release into it, and to pray until. Holy Spirit, thank you for your empowering. Thank you for the grace to do that. Oh, shiala sadada bosori andada basa. Father, for anyone that needs a word today, Lord Jesus, a word for their journey, I release that word for their journey. I release a word for their journey. Holy Spirit, just impart that word this week to them, something that will keep them going. Oh, Jesus, siadada bosoya la karada bosoda bashala basa. Thank you, Jesus. Release your love, Lord Jesus. Want a new, fresh revelation of your love, a fresh revelation of your love, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise God. That was a very good word. That was very prophetic. Now, well, you could give a round of applause, but we're talking about God things really here. Yes, I mean, Claire did an amazing job. But it's important, please, that if we pray, we will see these things. If we don't, we won't. It's that simple, really. It just needs a people who will pray and pray until. And as Claire said, it's not done in a great graphic way. There's lots of text, but here is a lot of what has been said today, and she's broken it down verse by verse, and it tells you how God would have spoken to Jerusalem through Isaiah in that day in Israel, and then it tells you what that fulfillment to us in Kingdom Faith Yorkshire is today. Because we receive all the promises of God, including those that are fulfilled historically, or even not yet fulfilled historically, for there are many promises still to come for Israel. That's another pray until. The big one being that they would be saved, of course. So there's that, breaking it down on all the verses again. That was an amazing job, Claire. Please do take these. Don't just leave a pile of them here, and then use them in house church. Use them in your own private prayer. It's a great way to take a scripture and pray until you see that happening. The watchman on the walls thing. Because there's going to be My expectation is that there's going to be a time very soon that when someone like Claire says, let's pray, there is a roar of prayer from this room, not a loud mutter like we just had. You know, there's been a lot of encouragement for that, but at the end of the day, to use that awful phrase, it can't come from a person at the front encouraging you. It's got to come from you making a decision. I will do it, even if everybody else is muttering. I will let a roar. I mean, that was a roar moment. That was like a rah moment, you know, to powerfully declare, I am going to pray until I see these things happen. Father, I pray you restore that pray until spirit within me. Father, cause your spirit to work in me to raise me up so that I am shamelessly audacious. Father, I want to be a person who is audacious before you, hearing from the spirit and praying those things until I see them happen in my family, in my church, in my life. That's the way to pray when you get hold of something like that. Like a bulldog, you're holding on until it happens. You know, that firm grip that will not let go. Yeah. And when someone says, let's pray up here, there'll be that roar of, yes, that's ours. We're having it. 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 This is a town that will change as a people pray. And it is us. It is us. What an incredibly ridiculous God we've got that he'd choose us. But he did. Because he uses the foolish things of this world. So we qualify. We qualify. We made it. We got the grade and God said, I'll have them. They're a bit foolish. And he chooses us and says, now, you can do it. You can do it in what I've called you to do. This morning, some of you, well, all of us to some extent, but there are some specific people, you know, there's been a step from glory to glory. There's been another in here, deep in here. Yeah, this is for me. Maybe you still have never prayed out loud, but you know that there's coming a time soon when someone says, let's pray, there will be a roar coming from within you because you cannot bottle in the Holy Spirit any longer. It says in, Jesus says that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Gushings of water, gushings of the Holy Spirit will just pour out because you won't any longer be able to hold it in. You're not going to let the enemy steal from you because you're a quiet person. You think, no, I don't care if I'm a quiet person. At this moment, I'm going to let the word of God out. There has been so much content this morning that you need to take away what you can take away. There's a big help there with stuff. That was amazing, Claire. Very anointed, incredible teaching, and spot on. So let's take that and let's run, because we've got an amazing journey ahead in this next 5 years. This is just the beginning. Things are changing right now, and we're running with it all together. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great, great, great week.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.